Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Good morning and welcome to First Nazarene Church this morning. Thank you for being here, whether you are here every week or if you are new to our community. My name is Galen, and if you are new, I would love to meet you, whether after the service or in the next few weeks. Thank you for being a part of our church today. For those of you here in the room, when you came in today, you saw these life group booklets on your seat. Half of you are looking at them right now because you're not looking at me, which is awesome. No, don't feel bad. You all looked up like you just got caught. Like this was school. Like, oh no, he saw me. Feel free. Go ahead and look through our life group booklets. If you are new to our church, three or four times a year, what we launch, what we call our life groups. For us, this is the best way to find connection with other people and to experience Christian community. And so we intentionally launch different kinds of groups. If you flip through here, you'll find anything from pickleball to football to breakfast to theater to then Bible studies, marriage groups, book clubs, parents of teens or moms of young kids. Again, more Bible studies. We believe that what we try to do as a church is to provide space for every single person at any point on your journey with Jesus to find connection and experience community. So we hope that you find your group. These signups are going to be over the next 2 weeks. So if you find one today, feel free to sign up. But you've got 2 weeks until most of these groups begin. Again, I would encourage you to sign up for a group. I like to say it this way, which this might sound bad to some of you, but maybe you've been a part of our church and you signed up for life group one time and that experience didn't go well for you. And you were like, Galen, I tried the whole group thing and it was kind of like odd or weird for me personally. I just didn't connect. And I want to say that's okay. When you think about your relationships, you probably didn't marry the first person you dated. And for many of you, that's probably a good thing. But you continue to put yourself out there until you found a spouse, a loving home for yourself. So I'd encourage you, even if you tried groups in the past, to sign up and get involved in the life of our church through our groups. Well, today we'll continue on our Foundations series. If you haven't been with us, if you're new, you can always go back online in the app or online and watch our different messages to see how we got to this point. And I want to begin today by asking you a question. I want you to think about where you grew up, where you went to school. For you personally, was there a place, maybe it was a neighborhood or a side of town or a school, that you looked at them, those people, and like you despise them a little bit. Like you look down upon them a little bit, like, oh, those people. And like, I'm not asking you to admit that, like, hey, I'm a judgy person. I'm gonna raise my hand today. No, but maybe it was just kind of ingrained. I think of the last church I pastored at, there was a river that ran right through the middle of town. And people would ask you, oh, are you on north side or south side? And how you answered that question, people would assume things. You know what I mean? And so, oh, you north side or south? Oh, we're on the south side. Oh, okay. All right. A little bit when I first moved here and I wasn't sure the landscape of the land, when it came to baseball, north side or south side, are you a fan of? And people would ask me as a new pastor, like, who are you a fan of? Who are you a fan of? Oh, okay. All right. You begin to assume things about those people. For me growing up, it was the high school that was the closest one. It was about 10 minutes away. And there was a rivalry between us in sports. We were both good and we both competed. But at the end of the day, it was like, we don't really like those people. And did you do this? You looking at me like I'm an awful person. You did this too, you know it. You begin to assume things about them. Oh yeah, those people, well, they're a little more like uneducated or like dirty or like, no, we just don't associate with them. Here's what I think we do often. Not everybody, some of you are better than me. But we come into relationship with people that we're close enough to them to know something about them. Yet we're distant enough from them that we can assume a lot of things about them and never have to be held accountable to them. Today, we're going to talk about how we interact and how we should interact with those kinds of people. And today, as we think of Jesus, we often fail to realize something about Jesus' life. When we think of Jesus, we might think of him as, man, he's the one into Scripture points us to. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that our hope is found. He can change and transform us, forgive us of our sins, and we'll live with him forever. And all those things are true. But yet sometimes we may fail to realize Jesus was from a place called Nazareth, is where he was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth, to the biblical people, was that place. Oh, you're from there? Ooh, okay. It'd be like assuming, if you could for a moment, could the Son of God really be a Cubs fan? Could he? Could he? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see, I guess. You can ask him. Will he? He's from there? I don't think so. In fact, in Jesus' day, a lot of the religious experts were like, could he be this Messiah, this Savior? Could he be the one? Actually, no, because he's from Nazareth. And if you were from Nazareth, you became known as a Nazarene. If you're an American, if you live in America, you're an American. If you're from Nazareth, you're a Nazarene. Today in our foundation series, looking at Nazarene, our church is called a Church of the Nazarene. What does that mean? Honestly, today's message is part history, part report, in part, the practical question of, are we living into our reality as a church? Now, if you're new to us, you may say, hey, listen, this is my first time. I don't really know much of anything about your church. And in one sense, that's amazing, because today you'll get a little glimpse of who we are. But I think for all of us, you know, in the foundation series, they're saying, if you're new to our church, here's more of who we are. If you're a part of our church already, here's the call of how we live into who we are. Here's what we hold to be true, what we believe, and then how we live. So hopefully today, I hope it ends in practical terms for you to help you live out your faith. What does it mean to be a Nazarene? Who are the Nazarenes? Many of you may have started coming to church here because of NazRec, Nazarene Recreation, our sports program, or because of Nazarene Preschool. It's how you first heard of us, and then you started coming to church. And if so, you may not realize that the Church of the Nazarene isn't just this local church. It's a much bigger family. I actually had somebody tell me not that long ago, they're like, well, what's a Nazarene? They just assumed that was the title we chose for our local church. I'm like, Nazarene, why would you choose that name? And they said, you should like talk to your marketing department. I don't think that's a great choice for your name. I laughed, thought it was funny. I said, actually, we're a part of a much bigger global family. We'll talk a little bit about who are the Nazarenes in today. Why does that matter to me? Well, in the beginning of the Church of the Nazarene, our founder, Phineas F. Brzee, was pastoring. The way he pastored, he had a strong passion to bring the good news of Jesus to the people who were normally missed by the church. He was pastoring in L.A., and he began ministering to the people in the slums of L.A., to the poor, to the addicted, to the marginalized, to the forgotten. He wanted to lead churches that could be a home for the people that normally wouldn't find their home in church. For the people that you would normally say, oh, that person, because of their past, do you know what they've done? Do you know what they said to so-and-so? They couldn't come to church, no way. He said, no, we want to be a church for those kinds of people, to be a home for those who would otherwise have no church home. As he was thinking, I'm sure he reflected on John chapter 1 in our scripture for today, and I want you to see this exchange. I love it. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to Philip, come follow me. This is John 1 in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's gathering his followers, his disciples, who he will teach how to live and to become, to live like him and then live into the world. And our call's the same today. He said, Philip, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went out to look for Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. The reason I love this exchange is because Philip is coming and saying, listen, we've had these scriptures for hundreds and hundreds of years, and we have studied them. And as you study them, God's people, these prophets are saying, listen, you have to be on the lookout. There is one coming who will be born of our people, and he is this Messiah figure, the Savior, who's going to come and, number one, deal with the sins of our people somehow so that we can be forgiven. But secondly, he will come to revolutionize our people. We will overthrow the government that's above us, and we will be able to live for God as we have always wanted to. Be on the lookout. He's coming. And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they were waiting. And so this claim is huge. He's saying, listen, we found the one. He's in our lifetime. The Messiah has come. It's a huge deal. He's here. Now, to that news, that's huge news, you'd be like, this is amazing. Tell me more. But instead, what's Nathaniel's response? Wait. Did you say Nazareth? That can't be right. If God were to come and save us, he wouldn't come from a place like that. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I so love the response. Well, come and see. When Phineas F. Brzee was beginning the church and he was in the slums and he wanted to be a church for the people that don't normally go to church, he said, listen, I want to be a church where we are known for Nazareth kind of people. They haven't found a home, but here they can. Here they can belong. Here they can hear the good news of Jesus. Here their lives can be transformed. We are a church of a Nazarene kind of people. When Phineas F. Brzee began to do the work in Chicago, our own history begins. In January of 1900, the first Sunday night in January of the new century, prayer meetings began to be held in the home of Charles Philpott. This little band met once a week for prayer for a year. Then they moved to 65th and Wentworth, where the work was first called a holiness mission. If you can see this photo here, this is where they would begin as a holiness mission. And so many new people to our church say, Pastor Galen, what's up with the stage? What's the background? What's the brick? And what's the thing upstairs? Does that door actually work? The short answer is yes. Why does it look like a storefront? What's happening? When they built this sanctuary, it was a nod to our history of where the church began 119 years ago, actually 119 plus, when it first began in that building to be a storefront from where we began. And then they would move to 63rd and Dorchester Avenue. In the fall of 1903, Reverend Haney and Martin were called to hold a 10-day meeting as a church. Can you imagine? Sometimes it's a struggle to get here once a week on Sunday morning, you know what I mean? 10 days in a row, the church is going to meet. Interest grew, the crowds packed the hall, filled the entrance, and stood at the windows. And the little mission was no longer large enough to hold crowds. So the church moved to 62nd and Lexington, now called University Avenue, and they called Dr. Brzee to hold a meeting in August. At the close of this meeting in August 28th, tomorrow's date, 1904, 119 years ago, Dr. Brzee stood behind this pulpit from 1904 and organized the first Chicago First Church of the Nazarene. 100 members came forward that day to pledge their vows to live true to the teachings of the Nazarenes. And before it was over, 177 had joined as charter members. Reverend Martin was called as our first pastor. And all 300 more were added to the church that first year, 400 members in 1 year. Fast forward to 1912, our church membership had grown to over 700. Our entire story, I'm not going to summarize the whole thing, can be found on our story wall in the lobby. Today, as you leave and you eat your delicious cupcake to celebrate our church's birthday, look up and you will see our history in front of you. Our church did move forward, our church then became the mother church of several congregations. It is in our DNA to plant churches, to multiply, to not look at ourselves, but to see where else God wants to go and to multiply. By 1927, we had already planted 5 more churches. And then this line is written in our history book, and I want to repeat it, and I want you to hear it. It's repeated over and over again. It says, this reaching out to others by the church, by giving, was established in the beginning of our church. It has been a hallmark throughout the years. It's one of the reasons why we have enjoyed God's blessing and growth. As a church, we say this, we are blessed by God to be a blessing for others. We do not exist for ourselves. This church does not exist so we can feel good and come and woohoo. We exist for others to have them hear the good news of Jesus so their lives can be changed and transformed. And I believe that God blesses churches that live on this mission. We moved to Damon Avenue in 61. Later, we would call Reverend R.J. Serrato and his family to be our pastor in a critical time of our history. In 1968, our church membership was down to 190 due to many of our members moving to the southwest suburbs. As we looked at the church, we knew it was time to move again. So what did we do? We bought a cornfield on a road called Bell Road. We purchased it in 1971, and on Palm Sunday of 1973, the people of Chicago First gathered on Bell Road to break ground for their new church. Indeed, do you remember the story of the Israelites when they were set free from slavery and they were led into the desert? Do you remember the cry of the people? Lord, why have you set us free? Why have you led us here to die? In our history book, it says, some felt that God had been leading us into our own wilderness, pictured as a prairie and a cornfield, to die. But no, God was not finished with our church yet. Our church's best days were still yet to come. Without giving you more and more, let me just quickly summarize the last 15 years. In the last 15 years alone, our preschool has remained a valuable ministry to build relationships with people who don't go to church and introduce them to a loving community. Nazarene Recreation has somewhere now in the ballpark of 4,000 registrations a year. And under Pastor Ethan's leadership, it's not just the business brain, but the pastoral heart behind our mission. And more families of Nazarene now know the church behind the program. And it's not just about sports, but their families are experiencing the love of Jesus through our church for both the adults and kids as well. In the last 15 years, we have given away $5.5 million for the work of global missions, to give away, to be a blessing for others. In the last 15 years, we have baptized 229 people, and over 800 people have begun a relationship with Jesus. No offense if you have a very old great-great-grandma, but this church is looking better at 119 years old than most others are. But we're also looking forward to the next decade to come. It's the story of our local church, but if you were to say, in general, who are the Nazarenes? Today I'll give you three quick things and ask you if we live into faithfully who we are. First, as Nazarenes, we are Christians. We're followers of Jesus. Just like the rest of the church global, we confess the creed that we have just said together. We declare that what we believe, and we follow Jesus. Secondly, we are holiness. This is our distinction within the Christian family. See, what's fascinating to me, when Phineas F. Brazee was making this church for people that wouldn't normally go to church, at that time in history in the early 1900s, there was a movement, and he was a part of it, called the Holiness Movement. Or what it was doing is to say, hey, all of you people in your denominations, come out of your denominations. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on what they called holiness. How do we become more like God? How is there holiness within our heart that we could actually live as God would want us to in relationship to him? And holiness of life. How do we live as Christians as God would want us to? This is our doctrine that distinguishes us, that of entire sanctification. That God could come in and cleanse our heart from original sin. And here's what that means in everyday terms. That we would normally have a disposition to choose sin, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to do what we would want to do. But God can actually cleanse our heart to change that inner disposition, to do what God would want us to do. That we could faithfully love God and love our neighbor, to serve others and to live on mission in his world. That God can actually do this. And let me just say it this way. Here's what I love about our church. Some churches would say, we want to be a church that just reaches people that are far from God. And because of that, they will reach people, but most things remain surface level. Or on the other hand, you have churches that say, we really want to focus on going deeper and growing to be more like Jesus, to be radically changed and transformed. And oftentimes these churches aren't necessarily good at reaching those kinds of people. I love that in the Church of the Nazarene, we hold those two things together. And we've seen it here in this local church. People far from God find a home and belong here. But it's not just we love you and Jesus forgives you, but there's a deeper work as well. That as you live for Jesus, he would take you deeper and deeper and deeper. And we are a people of radical optimism. I guess I would say it this way. The person that you've been isn't who you have to be forever. God actually can change you. He can break addictions. He can help you find hope. He can actually change the way you think, the way you talk, the way you interact with others. God changes us. We are holiness people who hold these together. Third, we are missional. We believe we follow this missionary God and his purpose. We see God coming to love and to forgive humanity, to redeem, to restore, and to renew creation. We believe at the end of time in Revelation, it says God will come from heaven and make his home here among his people. So we build his church, which is the extension of the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. We live on mission. And I believe there's really two ways that we do this. First of all, is we are missional in our generosity. Today, the Church of the Nazarene is barely over 100 years old. And yet we have spread to encompass more than 30,000 churches. We have over 50 educational institutions, over 200 missionaries on 6 continents and 160 different world areas. And we together, a family, to partner to continue to spread the good news of Jesus. And it happens because of churches and individuals. And our church has always had a vital role on the mission field, contributing to its success. But churches only do that when individuals do that. Takes me back, I remember, from the book from 1947. In 1947, there was a member of our church named McKinley Wilton. McKinley Wilton and his family lived in an apartment, and they'd put away some money to try to buy a house. They put it in their savings account, and up to this point, he had saved about $5,000. Which in 1947, if you do inflation over time, today that would be the equivalent purchasing power of nearly $70,000 that they had saved up. And we were going to buy a house. But then God's Spirit began to speak to Mack Wilton. He said, listen, I want to continue to spread my good news. The Church of the Nazarene needs to begin a new work in Africa. The people of Africa need to hear the good news of Jesus. But it's going to take about $5,000 to start it. Mack Wilton, being faithful to God, not thinking he could live obediently in any other way, showed up to church on Sunday with a check. And he said, this represents my family's future, but how much more could God do with it on the mission field in Africa? And he gave his gift. Our people have always been a people of generosity. Just like, and Wilton's gift actually began a 6-week revival. Because we know that when we live in obedience to God, God's Spirit responds as well. Today, we are missional in our giving. Each year, our local church will invest around $250,000 to give it away for the work of global missions. From giving to our missionaries, to supporting our educations who produce our new pastors, like Olivet Nazarene University, Nazarene Bible College, Nazarene Theological Seminary, and more. On the mission field, 90 to 95% of our gifts of the Church of the Nazarene to support missions come from the USA and Canada. And within the Church of the Nazarene, our church is in the top 5 largest and in our giving as well. This church, we will only see in heaven the results of our giving to the work around the world. And many of you may not even know that when you give to this place, it actually goes around the world as well. We are a blessing to bless others. And today, I would say this. Financially, we're the same as that we were a year ago. We are fine. But I would love to challenge our church. I would love to specifically challenge the next generation to step up in our generosity. Today, financially as a church, we are fine, but 10 years from now, I think it may look very different. What if we began today by, the Bible would say, what does it look like to give 10% of your income? I would say, maybe today, what would it look like if every one of us here and online started with 2%? What if we could start with 2% or maybe 3%? Again, it's not that we're in trouble or anything, but think of how many new churches we could begin. Think of the missional work that we could do around the world. Our future would change dramatically as we live obediently and be generous as we always have been. Today, I would ask you, are you contributing to the mission of God through your generosity? Even outside this church, God calls us to do this. And frankly, even as a young pastor, I don't flinch in challenging you this because I've seen a glimpse of what it can do. My family as missionaries in another country. I've seen the work of what the Nazarenes do in other places. I've seen the work of our institutions training up the new pastors for the new generation and how we need educated pastors in the new generation. I've seen people walk into this place to have their lives being one way and 1 year later being dramatically different because of the work of the gospel. That's why I challenge us if we've intentionally thought through our generosity, and I would ask you to. We're missional in our generosity. We're also missional in our ministries. From the very beginning, our church has reached out in our ministries. If you go back to 1921, you see these strapping young men on our men's athletic basketball team. In first service, I had a conversation with somebody who's in our current Wednesday night men's basketball league, and he looked at these scrawny boys from the 20s and said, I think we could take them. If we played today, I think we would beat them. I love that from the beginning, our church has seen we can use things like sports and education to build a bridge, to build relationship with people, that ultimately then we could introduce them to Jesus. When we moved to Damon Avenue in 61, we started our kindergarten through eighth grade school. So that by the time when we moved here in the 70s, we started the NAS Rec program and NAS preschool here. We as a church are called to love and serve our community. We believe one of the best ways to do that is to meet them where they are, to serve them, and then introduce them to the community who loves Jesus, and then the Jesus that can change their life. I love this photo because it's not just a little girl hitting a baseball and a coach who's a volunteer to help her hit the baseball, but in the background, you see the church. Our hope is that every person that would step onto a rec field, even on the rec field, would experience the community who loves them. But ultimately, they would know the church and the Jesus behind everything. And absolutely no one asked for this next part, but if you wanted me to summarize the last 10 minutes in a way where you may actually listen and remember it, I'll give you a little few key words in rhythm and rhyme to express who we are. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene, this place where that is a home for the last, the lonely, and the lost, and they are seen. It doesn't matter if you're 99, or still a young teen. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. From the beginning, our call was to reach all those that the world would consider unclean. From the poor, the addict, and the spiritually empty, here is your home where you can convene. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. Today, we reach those groups of people and more, from the rich and the poor and all those in between, to all those who need hope and healing. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. We haven't been perfect, and you may know some of our failings, yet even those point to the God who redeems, restores, renews, whose love is unfailing. Our goal has always been clear, that another person lost would come to know God, then take Jesus' good news message in the Spirit, both here and abroad. If you've realized there is a hole in your soul, and you need God to intervene, in this place you find the Spirit of God's grace. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. Here, outcasts come home. Marriages are restored. Those guilty walk away forgiven, for Jesus' mercy is on the scoreboard. He loves you so much, he'll forgive you, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are today. His Spirit will sanctify you through and through as we worship and we pray. We are Christian, holiness, and missional, and the movement spread like holy fire mixed with gasoline. If you want to know what Christ-like living is about, welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. So come join the outcast mission, and come join the outcast Messiah, Jesus the Nazarene, and join the family who's loving through mission. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. Today, I want you to respond maybe in a few different ways. And the first, and maybe to move more practically, not just the church, not who we are, but for you yourself, number one, I want to ask you, am I living as a Nazarene? What I mean by that is this. Maybe if you're unchurched or you're new to church and you think there's no place for me here, number one, you're welcome here. We exist for you. But then if you're a part of the church, what it means to be a Nazarene is to go deeper in your faith, to ask God to take over all of your life, to recognize him as Lord and say, Jesus, I surrender everything. Could you change and transform my heart? Am I just idly coming to church for another Sunday to feel good about myself? Or Jesus, do I long to know you deeper and to live on mission for you? For that is what it means. Or number two, are we reaching Nazarenes? Am I reaching Nazarenes? Do I see myself living on mission for those that know nothing of church? For those that I wouldn't normally assume that they go to church? Do I see them? Do I pursue them? It leads to the third one. Are we living missionally? When we see others, do we go out of our way to introduce them to Jesus? Again, I love this interaction to go back here. It says, Philip went out looking for Nathanael. He did this on purpose. When I go back to the beginning and I talk about the people that we are close enough to that we know something about them, Yet we keep our distance from them, and honestly, we assume a lot of things about them too. Who are those people for you? Is it people in your workplace? Maybe even people in your family? People at the places where you regularly go? You're close enough to them, you know their name, maybe you know their family, you know something about them, but yet you also look at them like, oh yeah, you probably need to get your life together in a few different areas. Do we see ourselves living on mission for those people? Do we recognize that Jesus is the hope of the world and Jesus wants a relationship with every single person? Because if so, it will change how we interact with them. We go out looking for ways to talk with them, and ultimately, we point them to Jesus. Maybe your story isn't, we found the one who Moses and the prophets wrote about. Maybe it's, listen, in my own story, I have found hope. In my own story, I found this peace and this contentment in my soul that no matter what happens, I know I am fine. I found joy. I found forgiveness and a new chapter of this new life that's being written in my life in Jesus. When we go out looking for them, we interact with them. It's not just so that they can, you know, we give them, here's the new best self-help book. Here's the new practice you should do. No, we believe in Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. We point people to him. And finally, if we have no other words, we may simply say, come and see. It's interesting. He said, Nazareth, can anything good from there? The society we live in today, people may have grown up in church. People may have had a bad experience with church. And you just say, you should come to church with me. They're like, really, church? Can anything good come from there? Because my past would tell me it couldn't. Maybe our simple response in that moment is to say, listen, people have failed you and I'm so sorry. Has Jesus failed you? If nothing else, if you're experiencing, if you need something new, if you need help and hope and healing, come and see. Maybe you would encounter a Jesus who can change your life. For ultimately, it's not about the church or what expression of the church is or about who's in leadership. It's about Jesus. Scripture says his name will be the hope of the world. Are we living as Nazarenes? Are we reaching Nazarenes? Today, I would close with this on this, our church's 119th anniversary. I want to read to you, these words were written in 1927 and are still true for us today. It says, listen, now the great founder of our church, Dr. Brzee, has passed away. He has left us to carry on the work which he so nobly began. And we have a wonderful record. The half has not been told. First Church has truly been a lighthouse, a city on a hill. And on this, our 23rd anniversary, or today our 119th, we bid farewell to those who have gone, farewell to those old days, and we press forward, forgetting our losses and counting our gains. This old ship has plowed through tumultuous seas where stormy winds and angry waves have rocked her. Tempests have threatened to wreck her, but the clouds rolled back and the sun shines bright, and this old ship in majesty sails on, battle-scarred to be sure, but with banners unfurled, with victory in its wake, and so we press on. Would you pray with me today? God, today, as we pause for a week to consider who we are and who you have called us to be, God, I pray that you would remind us of the calling to be a church for people that would normally never step foot into a church. God, as you have been doing through the years, I pray that you would do it again. The people would come into this place far from you, but encounter you, to experience the love of your community, and over time have their lives radically transformed. That a year from now and 5 years from now, even some of the people sitting here today or online would look incredibly different because of the life they are living following you. God, would you do this work within us and continue to do it? God, we're incredibly grateful and thankful for the past of your faithfulness and goodness to this place. And we ask for your Spirit's blessing and the outpouring of your love and favor on this place in the years forward. Just as we have begun to see a harvest of more and more people come to know you, God, would you multiply that over and over again? God, would you bless us to be a blessing? Would you call your people to be missional in their generosity and in their life? So that God, at the end of the day, we would see more churches spring up. We'd see more ministries spring up, more people come to know you, more families transformed, more generations that would know you and love you and make this world the place that you have created it to be. God, use this great church to do your work. God, for every one of us as we leave here today, let us wrestle with if we're living a Nazarene kind of life, going deeper with you and reaching out to others who have nothing to do with church right now. Would you use your faithful people to live out your mission? We love you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.